It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. It is Total Eclipse Day, Total Solar Eclipse Day, the path of totality just to our south here in Michigan. Matthew Sweet, Looking at the Sun, perfect song for Total Solar Eclipse Day. Careful, looking at the sun can leave you blinded, as Matthew Sweet tells us. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Talking with Batya Ungar Sargon. Her book is Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. Batya, thanks so much for sticking around. Part two of the book, How Can the Lives of Working Class Americans Be Improved? I love being introduced to Earl the Bathroom Cleaner, and this is part of the book that deals with college degrees and jobs that require college degrees. There's another person you talked to that thought he might be in line for more of a management-type role and was just denied out of pocket because he had no college degree. Do too many jobs that don't necessarily need college degrees still require college degrees in this country? Is that something that could be waived depending on the circumstance and something that could open doors for more of the working class?
My gosh, Scott, you really read the book.
I really read the book. It's true.
How many times you do an interview and it's obvious the person hasn't read it. Wow. Thank you so much. Yes, many, many people are locked out of good opportunities because they don't have a piece of paper. A lot of jobs that don't require any skills that are acquired in college. I mean, Lord knows there are few enough skills acquired in our institutions of higher learning these days, especially the humanities. Mm-hmm. And yet many, many jobs, and worse than that, many of the software platforms that people use for hiring will simply filter out people who don't have a college degree for jobs that don't require one. So this diploma divide is real. And the worst part about it is that this class divide, whether you have a degree or not, is the defining feature of American life. It is really the defining feature of whether you will be able to achieve the American dream or not. And so we're locking people out of the American dream based on a piece of paper, a credential that implies nothing about their skills and their ability to compete or to do this job.
Batya, what about unions? Union membership is at an all-time low, or close to an all-time low, in the country. There's a second class in which I think you're saying that unions generally still are a help and assist many in the working class. But is increased union membership or increased union power a pathway back for the working class in the United States?
Unions definitely give workers power, but there's a paradox right now, which is that even though unions are actually almost at a historic high in terms of how people feel about them, the vibes around them, people really like unions when you poll them. You know, 67-70% of Americans have a good opinion of unions. However, only a scant 6% of private sector jobs are unionized. Why is that? Well, the left will tell you it's because of union busting. It's not really true. The right will tell you it's because there's a gap in culture between the union leadership, which is very woke and very democratic, and union rank and file workers, working class people who are much more conservative. That's true, but that's not the reason people aren't joining unions. The reason they're not joining unions is a combination of factors. For starters, American workers are very entrepreneurial. They love work and they don't want to have an adversarial relationship with their boss. They still operate under this view that if they just work hard enough, they can get what they need. Now, that is not necessarily true at major corporations. So why are they not rushing to join unions? I argue in the book it's because the unions have embraced open borders. They really embraced illegal migrant workers who are the direct competition of the working class. And so when they see that, they think, wow, these people are on the side of the people they're bringing in to replace us at work, which is 100% the case. They're on the side of the people who are driving down our wages. And it's really that piece of it, more than anything else, that explains why Americans don't join unions, which they do. They raise wages for people. They issue protections for people. They make working class life a little bit easier. They guarantee a pension and so forth. And yet somehow the unions aren't doing something that is keeping people from joining en masse. And, you know, so to me, how do you get, you're not going to get from 6% to, you know, 50%. That's just never going to happen. I mean, that kind of a jump is never going to happen. There has to be other ways that we can help working class people where they're at.
Batya Ungar Sargon is with us. Second Class is the book, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. You say, almost universally across your interviews with working class Americans here in the country, there's a view that the government is funding the wrong things. If given their druthers, what would these working class Americans have the government fund? What would they stop the government from funding?
So for starters, they don't see healthcare as welfare. So in general, they had a pretty negative view of welfare, but they felt that there should be some sort of government-backed catastrophic healthcare plan. The idea of people entering into medical bankruptcy was intolerable to them, especially because they know that their work is physical, and so their bodies break down a lot more than the people who have the great healthcare. So I would say that was number one. They supported raising taxes on the rich and on corporations to pay for something like healthcare. Like, that made a lot of sense to them. They didn't like the idea of expanding the welfare state. So more Section 8 housing, they did not support that. Even people who were struggling with housing, they didn't want the government to come and give them that, some sort of a voucher. What they wanted was just more available housing in the marketplace, you know, so through a kind of more free market way of thinking about things. They felt that there was a lot of help being given to people who were making choices not to move ahead at work. But also there's this thing called the benefits cliff.
Yes.
So if you're a single mom and you're making $10 an hour and working part-time and you have a kid, maybe they have a disability, and so you have Medicaid for that kid. If your boss notices you and says, look, this woman shows up every day on time, she never makes excuses, she works really hard, and says, you know what, I want to give you a raise and a full-time job and get you to $15 an hour, give you full-time and healthcare benefits. This woman will lose $25,000 in benefits over the course of the year if she takes that raise, which will, of course, not make up for $25,000, because she will lose her free childcare, she will lose her food stamps, she will lose her housing assistance, and she will, most importantly and most unforgivably, lose that Medicaid, which is the Cadillac of health insurance.
We're up against a break. I want to remind people, Second Class is the book.
When it comes to investing, I'm always wondering, am I doing the right thing? And that's why I say you should always get a second opinion. This is Steve Gruber, and one of the people I ask about where to put my money is Nick Hopwood of Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth, Michigan. You see, Nick has over 25 years of investing experience and nearly $300 million under management. Plus, Nick and his team at Peak Wealth are fiduciaries, which means they invest in your best interest, not their own. Many advisors in the industry don't do any planning at all. As certified financial planners, the Peak Wealth team creates comprehensive, holistic financial plans based on your goals and what's important to you. Reach out to Peak Wealth for a second opinion today on your investments, fees, and to make sure you won't run out of money in retirement. By working with Nick, you can retire with peak confidence. Get your second opinion at peakwm.com/Gruber. That's peakwm.com/Gruber. Peak Wealth.